It is 11:45, and your Taste Test Monday is brought to you by the awesome people out at Kamati Foods. Freshly roasted nuts, dried fruits, and so much more. You know, the one thing I love about living in the city, and especially since I've started this particular feature, is just to look at the variety out there. And we've had African foods, for example. We had a family that traveled to most of the countries, brought some of the best meals, and put that in a cookbook. And we tasted that. Absolutely phenomenal. We've had pizzas. We've had all the normal stuff. But now today, you're going to find out more about Dos Chido Mexican barbecue smoked meats. I've already tasted some of this. My favorite happens to be the Louisiana wings. You know how much I love wings, right? But a nice little bite, I can still feel it. And to chat to us about this, of course, the owner, Paul Morton. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much for having us.
How long have you run this business, by the way?
So we started out, we were one of the guys that started food trucking about 7 years ago with Luca from Limoncello and Macy's. And we've obviously grew our business, have two food trucks on the road now, and we set up a restaurant about a year ago out in Durbanville.
So how did you get into all of this? Is this what you've always done? I always talk, before we talk about the food, we talk about the story behind the food. So tell us a little bit about your actual story. Don't tell me you were some table dancing accountant who decided that, you know, you need to take out the suit and then maybe start food trucking. What's your story?
Actually, quite an interesting story. My wife and I lived abroad for 12 years. I lived in Dubai.
Yeah.
I come from an engineering background, electrical engineering. I worked in the oil and gas industry for many, many years. And we missed the lifestyle of South Africa. We missed South Africa. So we wanted to come back. Obviously, dropped my CV out and no takers. So we looked at our resources, we looked at the people that we knew, and we decided to actually start a food truck 7 years ago. And here we are today with two trucks, a restaurant, and yeah, going strong.
And maybe I should do that first. Hey, and when you initially started, what were you hoping to achieve?
You know, it's quite weird. The initial brand that we started out with is very different to what we have today. Mm. Our initial truck was called Rawsome Cafe. We come from a very healthy background. We were about 5 years ahead of the market.
Rawsome Cafe?
To smoked meat.
To
can you believe it?
Meat. Okay. So Tim Noakes is going to be very happy with you.
Yeah, no, it's quite an interesting story.
Yeah.
And here we are. When we decided to actually open up a restaurant and we're chatting about it about 2 years ago,
yeah,
we wanted to bring something completely unique to Cape Town.
Yes.
I didn't want to open up just another taqueria.
Exactly.
So with the research that I did in Mexico, they do a thing called Mexican barbacoa, which is Mexican barbecue. And typically they do barbecued goat and lamb and things like that. And obviously, from a legality point of view, we can't do that in restaurants here. We can't set up the same kind of cooking. So I decided to import a smoker from Louisiana. I could have had local manufacturers made it and probably gone a much cheaper route. But we made a significant investment and found the best producers of these smokers in the States. You know, the Americans have been smoking for well over 50 years, and they've refined the art. They've actually perfected the art. And there's two companies in the States, Backwoods Smokers, which is the smoker that we've actually imported.
Right.
And if you Google Myron Mixon, Myron's one of the top smokers in the States, and he also produces smokers.
So just for context, if you've just tuned in, right, your Taste Test Monday is brought to you by Kamati Foods, and we are chatting to the Dos Chido Mexican barbecue smoked meats. And Paul Morton's here, and when he talks about smoking, it's not the Elon Musk type of smoking we're talking about here. We are talking about the smoking of meats, and you got the best in it. And that's surely where one needs to start. If you're going to differentiate yourself, might as well do it authentically.
Absolutely. And it wasn't a question for us to actually buy something locally. It was to actually bring in what would change really the cuisine in South Africa. And I know of one or two other people in Cape Town that are trying to smoke, and they've got local smokers.
Right.
Your end result at the end of the day is really what counts.
Okay.
The actual smoking process is a complete science. It's not just throwing a piece of brisket in and 16 hours later you have this juicy piece of beef. It doesn't work that way. There are certain stages that you actually need to follow and certain things that you need to do. It's a complete science.
Now let's talk about the reason why you're here, which is the food. Right? So you brought us some phenomenal platters to phenomenal. Well done, actually. I mean, you've obviously gone all out for this one. I really appreciate that. So where do we start? Tell us the story of the food on the platter.
So we do a variety of food. I don't know where to start.
Let's actually start with my favorite, right?
Your wings.
My wings. I love the wings. The wings are just absolutely to die for. And you've got just tell us about the sauce, the wings, how it's prepared.
So with the smoking process, we use different kinds of rubs on different kinds of meat. So we're using a sweeter rub on our pork products and on the wings. The wings are smoked about 2.5 hours. We're smoking about 110 degrees Celsius, just over 200 degrees Fahrenheit. And we mop what they call mopping.
Right.
So we use 100% apple juice to actually mop through the process in order to flavor and to cool down meats and to keep obviously everything juicy.
Yeah.
Whilst you're smoking.
Right.
So the wings we do in two styles. I've got a barbecue wing and a Louisiana.
Sorry. I obviously tasted off air and I am having a bit of a cough at the moment because the spice on your Louisiana wings are spicy. So just excuse the coughing. I thought I'd give some context.
Yeah, no problem. So all our sauces are actually made scratch in-house. And I think this is another thing. If you're going to smoke properly and you're going to do things authentically, don't go and buy a sauce off a shelf. Make a sauce, develop something, and utilize and be different in the market. So we've got the Louisiana, which has got a bit of a kick. For me, it's kind of a 5 out of 10.
It is.
We have developed other sauces in our restaurant that are obviously a lot stronger. But it is also a fallacy with regards to Mexican food and smoked food.
Yeah.
Mexicans don't make spicy food. Typically, if you go to a taqueria or to a Mexican place, you will get your food and it's not spiced, and they'll have a salsa table, and you go and add whatever salsas you want. Depending on the heat that you like. So moving on from the wings, I've got some burnt ends here. A lot of people don't understand what a burnt end is. If you look at brisket, it is quite a tough piece of meat. We smoke it for about 16 hours, and the point, which is the pectoral muscle on the cow, the top bit, we actually leave fat on, and that's caramelized down. That is where your burnt ends are actually taken from.
Okay.
Back in the day, the smokehouses would actually take these pieces of meat and just leave it on the counter. It was seen as throwaway pieces of meat. Now it's actually a delicacy. It is the go-to on the actual
very
brisket.
Much like oxtail, right?
Yeah,
back absolutely. In the day, everybody's like oxtail.
Hated
it. Chuck it now. What are you paying per kilo?
Absolutely, and you look at brisket. What the cost of brisket's done over the last few years as well. So those are our brisket burnt ends. I've got some pork belly burnt ends as well. We're smoking our pork belly about 8.5 hours.
Wow.
And we make this most amazing apple butter. We actually smoke apples for about 5.5 hours. And a chefy term, we make a burn rosé, which is a burnt butter, and then blend the apples and the butter together to make our apple butter that goes with our pork belly. It's exquisite.
Have you ever... So you started out all of this from scratch, right? You didn't grow up, you didn't have Jamie Oliver in your household. You didn't have any of these things. So getting to this particular point, the sort of R&D that takes place to be able to understand exactly what you're doing, because you need to be one with your food, if I can sound all cliched, when you decide to design a particular menu.
It's actually quite interesting. My wife and I have always been foodies. When we lived abroad, we traveled for 12 years. We've traveled the world, been through every continent, and we always have memories of countries that we've been to linked and associated to the food that we've actually had in those countries. We immerse ourselves in cultures, and with that, the amount of research that has actually gone into developing what we've actually done is massive. It really is. If you look at some of the top chefs in the world, your Heston Blumenthal's, they're actually not formally trained. They have been foodies. They have a love. They have a passion for it. You can have a chef who's got 15 years worth of technical knowledge who does nothing with it, or a foodie who has this most amazing passion for what they do, which is what we have. And you look at the food that we develop.
Well, this is the thing, right? I've always argued, if we're going to be developing enterprise in this country, we need to look at the low-hanging fruits. Mm. And already in a lot of kitchens around just the Cape, some phenomenal things are happening.
Absolutely.
And you don't need to have Michelin. You know, this whole Michelin thing is wonderful, and you can get in your Michelin star chefs, and I'm sure they all do a good job. Mm. But if you look at the value that's offered in the sort of cooking that your mother used to do, your grandmother, the things you grew up with, maybe you spent some time overseas, or you've traveled to with you know, spent some time in a couple of Airbnbs, and the owners actually cooked for you, you fall in love with this, and it plays to the emotional center of the brain, which is why you remember all these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's you can't trade for me recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation. And we actually have those kind of restaurants here in the Cape. You look at the Cape Malay food, incredible food, and you can't find that anywhere else in the world.
So if you go, you've traveled. Whenever you land at an airport, if we look at what you're delivering today and what you've been talking about today as Dos Chido Mexican barbecue smoked meats, right? Have you come across a single airport in the world where you could find something like this?
An airport, no.
And this is my point. You know, I've been saying to the airports company for the longest time, between P1 and P2, you've got that open space. Mm. You get people like you, people from different communities, coming together and putting a food market together.
It would be incredible.
Could you imagine that? And during the peak season, all these people arrive here, and they get a taste not just of Cape Town, but Mexico and everything else. Mm. And it's such a different value proposition. It's a bit like hotels and breakfast.
Yeah.
You find the same stuff no matter where you go. And maybe it's because they buy in bulk and it brings down the cost. But I think there's something to be said for unique food experiences as well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's when I travel to a different country or a different place, I will Google, and you go on TripAdvisor. If you go to Austin, Texas, there's certain places that you would actually go to. There's a barbecue joint out in Austin that people camp at from probably 2 a.m. and they sold out midday. And yeah, he's doing 137 brisket every single day. That's sold out. So, you know, food is not. It's become a journey. It's become an experience, and I think that's kind of our focus. And my wife and I have always run our food trucks like a mom and pop. It's our personality behind it. We run our restaurants exactly the same. Mm-hmm. It really is about the experience. It needs to be about the experience.
Absolutely. How many food trucks do you have?
Two.
You got two food trucks,
yep.
All in Cape Town,
yep.
And you do all the big markets?
We don't do markets. We do a lot of music events. We're very blessed to be able to do events like the Roger Federer and the Cape Town Sevens, and to work with really good organizers. We do a lot of private stuff. We did a private gig out in Bishop's Court. But it was actually last weekend, Saturday. So a lot of privates, a lot of corporates. Mm-hmm. So we're very blessed. We have a lot of business.
This is good. And it's great to see. You know, I think as a business developer in this country as well, you know, but I don't just do the on-air stuff. I do a lot of business development stuff, and I look at the magic happening. Mm. And I just wish the people in power can see the potential of taking these sort of things, putting their trust in entrepreneurs like yourself to help us build the economy. Because it would be great if someone left Matric or whatever and they were into food and they spent some time interning with you, learning how things work, learning how you smoke. I mean, we are running out of time, 15 seconds, but a quick closer from you.
How to close? Come try our meat.
Where?
You know, we're out in Durbanville. We're in the Village Square. You can get a hold of us on 021-